Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars as we close out August 2018. This is Dr. John live on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the vacation capital of the world, where we're driving toward Labor Day 2018. It's going to be a busy, busy time, a lot of fun. Come down and join Cody and I with Carolina Caricatures down here on the boardwalk. We'll have a great time. We'll draw you a picture and we'll talk about everything in the pop culture world. We'll have everybody joining us shortly as they call in with our great hosts, Papa Stroh, Dave Atwell, and of course, Todd Saxon. So we'll have a good show tonight. I do want to make an announcement that next week we will have a name change, and that's because it looks like judges have ruled for Comic-Con International, and only they can use the name Comic-Con, so we are going to be a little careful. So watch out on Facebook. We'll let you know. You can still, we'll still direct ComicConStars.com to our website, but we'll have a new name, and we look forward to having everybody and being around a long, long time because this show has been fun to put together, and we're in our third season, so it's going to be great. Now, tonight, we have great guests, someone that I like working with a lot. I'm going to call him the king of the drones, at least in our Comic-Con and pop culture world. He's the king of the drones. Jesse Elliott, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, John. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Glad to have you here. I know that just recently you won your first splendid teapot drone race up in Raleigh. We mentioned that.
I did.
Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. Congratulations on that one. It was a really nifty, neato kind of thing, first of its kind in
Absolutely.
The world. And I hope some other people will get busy and will attach themselves to it. I think it's a lot of fun. But I'm gonna fire off some questions for you and answer
okay.
them, and then we'll get knee deep into our topic tonight. First of all. Now, how long have you been drone racing?
So currently, I started in February. So what is that, like 7 months or so?
Yep.
So about 7 months, really into flying, actually. And I spent a month before that probably playing around in the simulator online. But actual flying, probably 7 months. But racing, I would say probably about 5 months, actual racing.
And you were recently out of town, I believe, at a larger, more regional drone race, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I went to the International Open. It's a multi-GP event, which is the organization that primarily runs in the United States. And it's the biggest drone event in the United States, and it invites people from all over the world. There are some people from Australia, Mexico, like all over. And then also a bunch of pro pilots came from the DRL, which is the top tier of professional drone racing. Those are the guys that you see on ESPN and get paid the big bucks. So it was fun. I got a chance to race with them. And it was definitely a great experience.
All right, now you got to race with some of them. How did you fare? Was this just something? How can I put it? Was this just something informal, or did you get to run in some races with those guys?
So it wasn't informal, but I didn't stand a chance. Because these guys are on a whole nother level, but this was more of an event for me to kind of see how big the community actually is and how big the events could be. So it was more of a learning experience and definitely a great experience. I mean, you never know how good you are until you test yourself against other people. So testing yourself against the top, like best pilots in the world, is definitely a great learning experience. So I had a lot of fun with that.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. And where was this held? Weren't you, I'm going to guess it was Indianapolis. Is that right?
It was just south of there. It's a small town called Muncie, Indiana. So it's an awesome town.
Right. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you got to do that. One of our hosts has joined us. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. John. Thanks for having me, and it's great to hear my one of my adopted hometowns of Indianapolis being referred to here. I am outstanding supernatural. I am through TSA, sitting in the Kansas City International Airport. In fact, getting ready to fly back up to Indianapolis. How are you all doing tonight?
We're doing great. Yeah, Jesse was just – I'd asked Jesse how long he'd been a part of drone racing, and then a little bit about his recent trip up to Muncie, where he had had a chance to fly against some of the best in the world and kind of find out where he is. Now, Jesse, real quick, you have a little more practicing to do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The practice never stops. So.
That's exactly right. Well, we're glad that you had a chance to kind of find out how you are situated with everybody there, and you've got a lot more things to look forward to. Some more drone races down here. Now, we wanted to talk about a couple of interesting topics. We have talked a little bit about all the fun of drones and drone racing, but there's a very serious and perhaps a little bit of a dark side to drone racing. Recently, I know that I'd heard in the news that some government had used a drone to go take out one of its political opponents. And drones are, for those of us that do try to stay within the law, we wouldn't be doing that. But I know that if you've got a drone, it can be very easy to take someone out. Can it, Jeff?
It definitely could be. People will find ways to hurt other people, regardless. But drones do offer a platform for that kind of stuff. You never expect something from above you to kind of fall and kill you unless, something from an airplane. The chances of that happening are slim to none. But, no one ever thinks to look up for something to hurt them. But that's where drones could kind of, sneak their way in and cause some harm. But hopefully we don't go towards that in the near future. As drones get more popular and, Amazon starts thinking about using them for deliveries and, I could definitely see where some evil would sneak its way in and take advantage of the system. So hopefully it gets regulated pretty well and some systems are in place to keep that from happening. So hopefully we don't see that too often.
Right. Well, you mentioned looking up and seeing something coming down at you. I guess our world is a different place than it was 10 years ago. I know that Cody and I were at Central Carolina Technical College in Sumter drawing caricatures today. And when we were over, I was walking to my car, and I saw a book bag on the pavement there in the parking lot. Now, 10 years ago, I would have been fine to pick it up and take it to the Lost and Found there at the college. But I know one thing. I think I've got a rule now that says you better not touch anything that you didn't put there. Because, you look at terrorists and everything. There are book bags, there are boxes, there are briefcases that are set to detonate upon movement. And this is dear old something, South Carolina, where probably nothing like that has ever happened. But I'm not going to be a test case to see if touching or moving a book bag is going to be detrimental to my health and going to blow up at me. And I think that's one issue that Amazon is going to have. There's a drone headed for your house, and I don't know how they're going to knock on the door. I don't know how they'll do that. Maybe they'll call you and say there's a drone outside your house. It would be a smart way to protect people. It can be a little scary if you say, Todd, let me ask you something.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say?
Well, generally speaking, nothing good. I tend to be a bit cynical and at the best of times. And you don't know who's up to what, and you have to put yourself in the bad guy's shoes and think, how could I do this to exploit its capabilities. And you got to be thinking that way pretty much all the time. And, of course, you got to be thinking in the countermeasures of it.
Exactly. And I know,
right,
I know one
exactly.
thing I did. I mean, maybe I bailed and maybe I did the bad thing, but I called one of the security guards and said, there's a book bag in the parking lot. I hope they know how to be careful and when things like that happen. So I was just very careful about it. And I know drones, you really do have to be careful about that. Now, Jesse, I've got a question for you. I know that there are some regulations about flying drones. There is some licensing. Now, what do you know about that, and what advice can you give us on that?
So currently I'm actually trying – there's a license that you get through the FAA to become a commercial drone pilot, which is pretty much flying anything above 250 grams above 200 – or above 400 feet. So you could fly anything under 250 grams – under 400 feet without any sort of FAA registration or licensing. But if your rig is 250 grams and above, you have to actually register it with the FAA and stay below 400 feet, which most of the time our racing quads do stay under that limit, and then we also definitely stay under 400 feet. But as far as like your DJI photography style drones, most of the people don't know how high they actually are or realize 400 feet is really kind of low for photography drones, I guess, or if you're doing any like big shots. And then you're also not really allowed to fly over large crowds or sporting events or stuff like that with drones. So there's a bunch of regulations on the FAA website if anyone has any questions or is looking into, flying drones or operating them out in public. The FAA website definitely is a good resource. But I'm also in the middle of getting my Part 107 license. So that's a real easy – I wouldn't say easy, but – it's just a course you go through, and then you take the FAA test at the end, and then once you're registered and you get your Part 107 license, you're able to fly, above that weight limit and the altitude limit. So.
Right. Now you mentioned, I want to jump in and ask a question. You talk about 250 grams?
Grams, right.
That's less than 10 ounces.
Todd.
Less than.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I thought it was roughly 28 grams per ounce, if I remember correctly.
Yep. So you're talking about 9 grams? That's not 9 ounces. That is not very – that's not a very big drone, is it?
No, I mean – so our drones are pretty much all carbon fiber and TPU, so – they're really light, but then what you also have to add in is the battery size as well. So that's all up weight, battery, and drone itself. So
right now,
most of
it. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jesse.
No, I was going to say just most of our 3-inch drones, like the tinier ones, those are kind of the ones that, are right in kind of the middle of that weight. And then our bigger 5-inch drones, those are the ones that are kind of, at the max of that weight. So you have to be really careful about kind of the components you put in. You don't want a hefty thing and then, unable to properly fly it.
Right. Now, there's another issue that I want to address, and this is something I've been thinking about, is the actual security. I know that we have perimeter, and Todd, you know about security. I know that. We have perimeter security is one element of securing a house or a business or a location. But now, what about the security, like an invisible wall or some type of field that would let you know if a drone has come through, and then what could you do? I mean, you know, suppose you have a business and you got 1 square acre of property, and of course the perimeter security, that's fairly straightforward. You got a fence. But what happens when you get a drone flying in above your fence? That's a toss-up question for either one of you. What's the best way to implement that? That I guess you'd have to have notification versus what do? You shoot it down, you let it come in. How do you handle that? Toss-up for both of you.
I got to imagine they got I'm just thinking that there's ways you can definitely field. I don't know how much you can dampen particular segments of the electromagnetic spectrum to block it from coming through. That might be one of the things to protect your area.
So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. And then, I mean, also, like, I'm not sure if there's some gray zone where technically if it's in the air, it's in some sort of FAA regulation, so then it wouldn't, I mean, it falls into airspace, then at that point, not necessarily property, because technically you can't own, I guess, the airspace above your property. I mean, how high does that limit go, you know? So,
well, that may be, but, you know, if you've got a piece of land and you've got some sensitive things there, and they're 6-7 feet tall, I mean, you know, and your fence is 12 feet tall. I mean, how easy is it to fly over that, take a picture of it, potentially do some damage to it? I mean, that's trivial. And again, people that are out doing that are not out there following the law and rules about destruction of property.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, that's just goes to people being people, I guess, humans exploiting the system and doing things they shouldn't do. But, I mean, it's just like, you know, speeding in a car. I mean, there's a posted speed limit, but, of course, very few people actually go the speed limit. I mean, even 5 over, technically, you're breaking the law, but, I mean, everyone does it. So, I mean, you never know, like, what people are up to with drones. You could just put the laws in place and then, you know, hope people abide. I mean, that's all I can say.
Yeah, well, that's something I'll need to. Todd, you got any other input on that, Todd?
Not a whole lot in particular. Just keep thinking about some of what Jesse said and you as well. Let's face it, if somebody's going to do something to break the law, they don't bloody well care about it, and they're not really going to be constricted by any form of rules. And this is one of the things I can tell you. And generally speaking, for any variation of reconnaissance drone, whether it's something some people have cobbled together, you know, and they, you know, and they're setting it up and working to a laptop type thing, I know that generally speaking, you're told not to bother using small arms against them. You're burning ammo, so it may be a little more futile to do. You know, I'm sure there's some listeners saying, yeah, just pull out the shotgun or whatever. Tell you right now, unless it's low, the shotgun ain't helping you. And again, the other thing is the general way of dealing with things is saying don't, you know, track more the directions where it's going, that kind of thing. See if you can narrow down the source, but don't bother wasting small arms ammunition on such a thing. That's
right.
The current doctrine.
The danger of shooting over, you know, I mean, you don't know where those rounds are landing either. So then you put
there
other
you
people
go.
In danger more. So.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's a question. And, you know, I think the collective, those of us who are here, I mean, I'm interested in finding out about that because computer security has always been a real issue, something that I wanted to know more about. Especially, you know, when I was active as a professor and active as a publisher. But I think the security of drones and, you know, what do you do if a drone comes flying over your place and all of a sudden you got a couple of horses and all of a sudden one goes down? I mean, you know, in terms of maliciousness, and vandalism, this is a whole another chapter in security and protection that we're all going to have to start looking at. So I think that
right.
I think it's a topic that I wanted to bring up and to see what our collective group knew, because I know I'm going to do some looking into it. I think it's interesting, but it's also very important. As in, what do you do if Amazon says they're sending a drone in? You know, hopefully they're going to call you and say the drone is 300 feet from your house. It's us. But then again, as soon as they start doing that, we know just how bad it is, how telephone spans are called, and you can get a call, and you know your address. They can say this is your order is here from Amazon, and that might take your out of all your door, drone flies in, boom, problem. So there's a lot that's going to have to be put in place for drones to be used effectively in commerce, and that's something we need to think about. I can guarantee the bad guys, when we thought about it, we're, as usual, those of us that don't think about doing bad things and doing harm to other people, we're not thinking about this stuff. But it's happening. We never realized phishing and spam would be so bad. We didn't think, I know I didn't think about that. That's kind of the down or the darker side of drones. But we've also got, some other sides to droning. I don't mean that as not too humorous, but in terms of drones. Drones can also be used, and Jesse, are you aware of how they are used to essentially police and maybe follow, like following kids on your property? In terms of babysitting mechanisms and things like that, are there some drones that are activated by movement that could be used to flat folks in a parcel of land or whatever? How are we looking on that drone issue?
So just recently, I think last month or the month before last, I actually got to put on a race demo with some other Fayetteville guys. And then Raleigh guys at the NC Drone Expo, which is a huge event for the UAS community, like the unmanned aerial system community, because there were some representatives from Intel there and other huge companies that are in the tech industry. And there was actually, after the demo, a Fayetteville sheriff's officer was there, and he asked me a question. Asked me some questions about drones, and they are actually looking to get into drones for searching houses and buildings before they actually send officers in. Just sending a drone in and then just going through all the rooms to clear the rooms pretty much or building as best they can before they actually send officers in. So really, I thought that was really awesome and would definitely be a huge boost in safety for the officers. So I know that's one thing they're trying to do. I've also, there's a bunch of agriculture things drones are getting into as far as the farming industry, like fertilizing crops and things of that nature. Or just surveying the crops and seeing, instead of, farmers spending all day in the fields trying to find bad sections of their crops, they just throw up a drone, 20, 30 minutes, they surveyed their whole property and found the locations they need to go work and, cuts down their work time by 90%, So surveillance, there's been, I've seen a couple videos where, people would survey their property, just throw a drone up, three times, four times a day, do a roundabout of your property, and that's it. So, the possibilities are endless with drones. I mean, the better your imagination, the easier your life will become. So we'll see.
Right. Yeah, go ahead, Todd, please.
Oh, I was just thinking, for any functional use, there's always a antithesis, if you will, the counter action. So you better believe, if you're somebody's using it for surveillance, there's people using it for counter surveillance, if you will, And, you know, it made, it occurred to me that if people are really that worried about drones over their property, they're going to make interceptor drones.
Right.
That, you know, so it's going to happen.
Well, then also people can't, I feel like there's a stigma about drones. Like someone sees a drone and they're like, oh, they're spying on me, which, for me operating the drone, the last thing I want to do is spy on someone. But of course the person doesn't know that. And I feel like if you were to ever see a drone, it's hovering around your house, like right above your property or your house, then maybe, the person's motives aren't that great. But if it's just flying over your property and then it keeps going and doesn't come back, then, I don't think it's the pilot's intentions were to necessarily spy on your property. Maybe they're just getting
community. It's probably not that nefarious if it's doing a drive-by.
Right.
Well, one thing that I wanted to mention, and Jesse, I had spoken about this with you, is working on a project with Historic Camden at their battlefield, includes about 450 acres of longleaf pines that they're cleaning out, working on it. There are some swamp areas called Pocosin, and they are not able to get in there. The underbrush or the growth is so thick. It is swampy. You can't walk in there. You can't get in there. So one thing that they wanted to do, and it was a project that we're going to be working with them on, is we're going to actually take footage in those Pocosins, which are the swampy areas, and help them find out what they got. One thing that they're looking to do is they're looking to increase the number of plants such as pitcher plants, carnivorous plants, because they apparently are they're very, very good for swampy areas, by eliminating certain pests and everything. And they want to find out what they've got. Do they have like a bunch of pitcher plants out there? Can they start selling them to bring in some extra money or whatever? There's a lot that you can do to find out about your property and what's on there. So this is I think it's a marvelous thing. It's, one form of surveillance, but it's a wonderful thing, and they are looking forward to us working with them to get that up and running. So I think there are a lot of uses for drones, and people need to turn their attention. It's not about perimeter security. It's not about, we're in the fourth dimension of security, the area above your property, and, there will be some additional legislation that's going to have to be put in place about what is the minimum distance you can drop down over someone's property. That's going to have to be done. And I think that's a good question for our lawmakers. And that's something that, we ought to be asking our local and state and national congressmen and senators to find out exactly what they're looking to do. Because if people like us do not ask questions, then answers will not be obtained when we need them and before there are problems. So I think this is a discussion. Right. It's a good discussion to have, and I think it's a discussion we ought to, in a month or two, we ought to revisit as we look through some of these things. I think they're interesting and smart, and as an entrepreneur, who knows where all this can lead. But I think it's important, and I guess what I'd like to do is ask each of you, I'm going to start with Todd, and then I'm going to go with Jesse. I'm going to say, what are some of the other issues? I tell you what, let me take a commercial break here and talk a little bit about the Cape Fear Comic Con to give you both a chance to think through this question. Well, what are some of the other issues you think are important in drones as we move forward in the future? So I'll take about 90 seconds here, and I'll give a commercial for the Cape Fear Comic Con this past weekend in Wilmington, North Carolina. We had a blast. Papa Snow was a heck of a star. We had well over 1,000 people at this event. We had over 75 tables worth of vendors. We had a lot of film people. We gave some film awards, proving once again that Wilmington is a great town for Comic-Cons. And as we look into the future a little bit, on March the 2nd, we will be having the Wilmington Cosplay Expo and the Hollywood East Film Festival. So we'll have another one of the Cape Fear brand Comic-Cons will be coming to Wilmington in just, won't be that many months. It'll be March 2nd. So looking forward to all the people who were there that had a good time, and looking forward to everyone to come and enjoy everything. Todd, hopefully you'll be back in town then. Jesse, we can do some drone racing. And that'll be March 2nd at the Coastline Conference Center, downtown Wilmington, North Carolina, 501 Nutt Street. So we'll be talking more about that Comic-Con coming up. So, Todd, I'll put you on the hot seat. What are some other issues that you think might be important regarding drone racing? Or drones. Drones in general.
All right, in general, how long before the government figures out how they can tax their use and then gets all the regulations going with that stuff? Because if Amazon can find a way to use them to make a profit, the government will find a way to tax that. That's just a given. So as soon as they can figure out how to get their piece of the pie, that's happening. But about the, it's going to be the regulations, because, you know, you start getting a series of companies trying to do that, and then, boy, there's, you know, ultimately you're going to see some sort of registration, you know, like the vehicle registration and stuff coming and licensing just for any person to be able to operate it, period. I don't care if it's an amateur or if it's a business. It's going to happen. I see that coming.
You're 100% right. No one would have ever thought that mobile homes would have been licensed individually, annually, to bring in revenue to states and counties and cities, but they certainly are. So there will be a way to tax them. There will be more regulations. So I think that's an important thing to know. Great observation, Todd, and thank you. Jesse, do you have an issue or two that you foresee in the near or not so near future?
Well, I look at drones exactly like the internet. When the internet first came around, everyone was skeptical. Everyone had their doubts. Everyone didn't know what to expect with the internet. And, I mean, now look at the internet with all these acts about, you know, whatever on the internet. Everyone's tried to regulate the internet and I mean, even the dark web, there's dark web, so there's bad people doing things on the internet. Same with drones. It's going to be the same thing. There's people hacking. There's people stealing information. I mean, but we all still use the internet every day. I mean, 90% of the day we're on the internet. So I see drones just like that. I think it's going to get to the point where we're just so acclimated to using drones and drones in our lives, from ordering, from transportation, from, you know, recreation, everything. And I think it just, people need to be open to the idea and not so hesitant right off the bat, because there are a lot of benefits. Just like the internet, there's a lot of benefits, and I think that there are going to be the problems initially, and just hopefully it doesn't scare the population away. So we'll see.
Well, we can work on it, and we can make a dent in it and make some progress. So what I'd like to do, I want to thank my co-host tonight, Todd. I want to thank our guest, Jesse Elliott. This is our last night of somewhat shorter shows, as I am out on the boulevard and on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Again, next week we will be back. You can still find us on ComicConStars.com, but we will be changing names due to the legal decisions made in favor of Comic-Con International. So we'll have a new name next week. And, of course, Dave Atwell will be back, Papa Stro, the one and only maestro of wrestling. Todd will be back, and we'll have another great guest. So I want to thank my co-host. I want to thank our guests. Thank you so much. And we'll be back next week for another podcast in the continuing saga of Comic-Con Stars. Todd, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. John, for having me. Jesse, great, great conversation, brother. You know, good. I appreciate the information you brought to the table.
Absolutely, Todd. All right, thank you so much. And thank you, Dr. John.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Jesse, for being here. We wish Papa Stro, I know he's wrestling in Charleston, West Virginia tonight. We hope that he won. Dave Atwell is just working hard, keeping the lights on, and being our man down there in Jacksonville right now. So to everybody, Comic-Con stars, listening audience, fans, friends, enemies, whoever you are, thanks for listening to us, keeping our ratings high, and we'll see you next week on the one and only Comic-Con Stars. Cheers.
See you next week. Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
You too.